This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Talking a little Phils today. We will talk about a pretty big addition to the Commanders in a moment. Talking about whether you feel like, whether you expect a World Series season out of the Phillies this year. And we only touched on this in the open, Ike, but I think it is worth trying to dig in on is whether the people who are saying no are saying it because of the team itself, or saying it because they don't want to go into a third straight season expecting the Phillies to win a World Series and to be disappointed again. Whether it's like this emotional hedge from people, or whether, because when I'm just looking at it from an analysis standpoint, I can't see why you wouldn't expect it, aside from if you just tell me the Dodgers, right? Like, tell me the, but aside from the Dodgers, but whether it is this after 22, you know, people I think went into the 23 season thinking we're going to win it. Last year, we went into that season thinking we're going to win it. Yep. And whether the exhaustion of going into a third straight season to be let down again, if that's what's happening, or if they really truly believe they're not good enough.
Yeah, I'm more in the camp of provincial of the letdown.
Right.
So you're almost trying to sort of protect against, right? Like you're almost trying to protect against that. And because last year, I felt like last year was more of a emotional drain than losing to the Diamondbacks. Because at least with the Diamondback series, you got through a couple of rounds, and there was the we had the joy of knocking off the Braves again, who I believe had won a division, right? They won a division in 23. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So beating the Braves again, you had that. Last year, man, last year just felt like, even though people like yourself was warning us, it's not good baseball coming down the stretch, worried about going into the postseason, I still did a lot of convincing that they were going to hit the switch once the postseason started and they were still going to make a run. Like, I did a lot of convincing of myself and trying to convince our listeners. I remember going back and forth with you a couple times over the whole they're going to make it to the World Series. And yeah, I got to admit, they let me down, and part of me is like, know what? Show me. Like, if I'm late to the party, then so be it. I'm late to the party. I'll get there if there's still a party going on. But I'm not being early to the party.
Jack, is this an emotional hedge from you, or is it, do you really believe that they're not good enough?
Yeah, again, I actually kind of summed up how I felt, is that like they gotta prove it. Because last year they got off to the hot start, and it's like, oh, perfect, like here we go. They've asserted themselves as one of the best teams in baseball, but then it was a march to a slow death. Yeah. And the lineup hasn't really changed since they lost to the Diamondbacks. It's pretty much the same thing. So I think it's definitely more of an emotional hedge, but also just, their actions don't tell me they think this is a World Series team. That my actions tell me this is we want to make the playoffs, but we're not gonna sell everything and go all out to try to win the World Series.
That's the other thing, the players. Like, you got to admit, the messaging coming out of the clubhouse is more or less, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. It's a long season. I mean, I got Bryce telling me it's a long season. It doesn't matter how good you are in the regular season.
Well,
that's an emotional hedge, too.
Can I say that? That is what I will not allow for it, like that, because it pisses me off.
Yeah,
like it pisses me off that JT Realmuto after the year did the This Is Baseball thing. It pisses me off that we're sitting here talking about we need some sort of like emotional spark plug in the locker room, in the clubhouse, when we have Bryce frigging Harper standing there. It pisses me off that they would have gone through the last couple of years and seen what happened and not go into this year and fully be open to changing their approach on those things. Like those things make me mad, and I'm not going to allow them the sort of leeway to come into this season and go, "Well, this is what we are." It's not good enough. That is not good enough. That approach is not good enough. And I'm curious, you know, we'll see through their actions whether they've taken the failures of the last 2 years seriously. Mm. We'll see about their approach at the plate whether they've taken the last 2 years seriously. And you're going to laugh at me, but I don't want some sort of meltdown celebration if we win the division again. Enough. Like, celebrate, be happy, go home, but realize...
Oh, you mean with a over-the-top celebration?
Yes,
I got
and
you.
Everybody made fun of me for that last year after that.
Sure.
But the Dodgers celebrated. They celebrated, but there was a muted celebration, and they went out, and I think they won 7 of their last 8 games because they understood that and here's a team in the Dodgers that they won the fake World Series in 2020, but they knew that they had
that one don't even count.
Yes, that the expectations are higher. I want them to know that our expectations are higher.
So
part of me is frustrated at us sort of letting them let themselves off the hook for this.
But that's what I was just ready to say. So you kind of feel that the players have sort of set this up for a soft landing, and we're buying into it.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I understand the human element of coming out as strong as they did and having trouble sort of figuring out what went wrong and not being able to rope it in. I get that, but I also understand that that should be a learning experience for the team as to how they should approach this. And that learning experience is it can't just be, well, we shouldn't be good at the beginning of the year.
Right.
That's not the learning experience. There are plenty of teams that are good the whole year.
Right.
I'm sorry. There are plenty of teams that are good the whole year and win the World Series. Being bad half the year does not give you an advantage in winning the World Series. I hope they learned from a personality standpoint and from a habit standpoint about how they let it get away. That's my concern, is not that they were too good in the first half and then they just couldn't be that good all year. That's nonsense, right? Like, Ranger, the only significant difference between the first half and the second half from a performance standpoint was Ranger. That was it. That's it. Bump fell off. But I'm saying the Ranger thing was a physical thing. The rest of the players were fine. They went through their injuries in the first half and the second half, but nothing outrageous, right? Like nothing what the Braves went through.
Sure.
So I just don't.
And they still wound up making the playoffs, didn't they? Did the Braves wind up making it?
Yeah.
No, they got swept, but yeah.
Yes, but they got in there. So that's just the other thing is that, like, I get us going into it saying, well, we don't want to be hurt again, but also this team, just from a performance standpoint over the last 3 years, is a team and a roster standpoint, is a team that should compete to win the World Series. That's it. It is. And if it isn't, it's on Bryce, and it's on Trey, and it's on JT, and it's on all of these vets who claim to be one of the best at their position, you know, in the league. Mm-hmm. It should be on them. The pitching staff is good enough. They kept the manager. Like, let's everybody grow up a little bit and understand the expectation should be that high.
So I'm grown.
All right. 215-592-9494. Drew in Westchester. You're a WIP.
Hey guys. I guess I can't even believe this is a question. I mean, this has to be World Series or bust with the age of the core of this team. And so if the question is it good enough to be like a favorite or the favorite? You know, I'm not sure I understand exactly, because to me it's a priority this season. Yes, it has to be. It has to be World Series or bust when the entire core of this team average age is like 32, 33 now. You talk about Wheeler, Nola, and five out of the top six guys in the lineup, right? I mean, Bohm is going to be 30 soon, too.
Yep.
So, I mean, how can it not be, how can it not be World Series or bust? My problem is Dombrowski has not acted like it, okay? He's just, it's like Groundhog Day with him. I don't get it. Max Kepler is like Whit Merrifield again. I don't get it.
See, that's what I'm saying, Drew. Like, you see these things, but you see these things, and you still say World Series or bust. That seems more like... That's what you hope that they do, as opposed to expecting it. I can't look at the same, basically the same roster. Yes, they added Lazaro, they added a pitcher, they added Kepler. I just don't see that being enough for me now to automatically think this is a World Series caliber team. They've had too many, they had two straight years of losing to inferior opponents. And nothing is really changing with the lineup.
Yeah, well, so I'm right exactly right there with you, Ike. And so that's why the way I say it is Dombrowski, he has not acted like it nearly enough yet, so he better get going by the trade deadline because it is a World Series or bust season with this roster, the way it's constructed and where it is in its age. So if Dombrowski doesn't start acting more like it is, then I'm extremely disappointed in him first and foremost. And yeah. You're right. The core has to perform and look in the mirror if they don't make it again. But it's just as important that this bottom of the lineup issue is a real issue, and it continues to be ignored. So I just don't get it.
I just don't know how you can. But bottom of the lineup. See, I just think you're letting the players on the team off the hook a little bit by putting it on Dombrowski, who I agree. I wish he had made a more significant move at the trade deadline last year. But to me, it's not quite about the bottom of the lineup. When we look at the playoffs, Bryce performed. Schwarber didn't perform. Trey didn't perform. JT didn't perform. The Bohm didn't perform in the playoffs. Like, this is not you can't. You go and you add Alex Bregman. Or you add Jerickson Profar, who Joe from the Northeast brought up. Those are good players, but they don't change all those guys. Like, all those guys have to be good enough. They have to earn the addition at the deadline. It's not about going and getting one player to make the entire composition of the team better.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they certainly had the kind of start last season that had enough momentum that Dombrowski should have been motivated, more motivated at the trade deadline, especially because June and July didn't go as well as April and May, or I don't know when the slide started a little bit, but all I'm saying is it takes an entire team. So, yeah, all nine guys. So when Rob Thompson says, this is a championship roster, no, it isn't. It isn't. It's proven not to be 3 years straight. So,
well, but let me add last thing, Drew. The Braves won the division for like 20 straight years and won one World Series. And every year they had a World Series roster. They truly did. They just didn't do it. I know we failed in the playoffs three straight years, but the first year we barely made the playoffs. The second year needed a hot streak at the end of the year to make the playoffs. This was not some juggernaut the last couple of years. I could make the argument that as far as the season goes, last year was the best they have played.
Well, that's why I think you're kind of making my point for me. It's shown not to be a championship-type looking roster the way it's performed game one to end of the season. It just hasn't looked like one. And so, I just don't see. I don't see Dombrowski showing that he is that it's a priority to win the World Series. It just doesn't look like he is. I don't know why.
Drew, next question. Give us a skill or ability you wish you had.
Oh, it's not even close to be a scratch golfer or anything close.
You're preaching to a couple of guys here.
Listen, that was my second answer.
Golfer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, scratch golfer means no handicap. Is that what that means?
Well, even, yeah.
Even, right, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
How far are you away?
Oh. We're scratching.
Okay. Do you even know what your handicap is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is it? Oh, do you mind me? Oh, is that like asking a woman her age?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can I ask Jack what his is? What's yours?
Well, he doesn't have one.
No, at my best, I was like a 12.
Handicap.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm like a 24.
Okay. Well, that just means Jack's not quite as good as he says he is.
Yeah. I never said I was that good.
Well, yes, you have.
Yeah. You go 20 to 24.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, 20 to 24.
Better than whatever I would
do. Yes. I'm a bogey golfer.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Golf seems really hard, to be honest with you.
Believe me, it is.
Yeah, it seems like I look at it and I'm like, that tiny ball in that tiny hole? Yikes. Pause. All right. So the Commanders made a trade over the weekend. They traded a fifth-round pick for Deebo Samuel. Mm-hmm. When you hear it, it feels like a big addition. How big an addition do you think it is for the Commanders?
You know, it's good for the Commanders. I just don't know how much it impacts or makes them any closer to being a better team or even with the Eagles. You know, Terry McLaurin was pretty much their main weapon on offense outside of Jaden Daniels. So at least it gives them someone else to sort of get the ball to. Unless he gets highly motivated and sheds about 10 pounds.
Right.
You know, he's heading in the wrong direction.
Well, I don't
he's heading in the wrong direction with his weight.
I don't think he's had 1,000 yards since 21.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy who I think to an extent has lived off of one really, really good season mm-hmm. a few years ago. He has great moments.
And he's never been a natural wide receiver.
No.
He's always been sort of a weapon.
Yes. Which, when you're playing against him at his best, is kind of scary.
Yeah.
And it does give Washington another playmaker on offense. So if you're not looking for Deebo Samuel to be your number one major guy, I think it makes them better. I guess my question is this: how much does Deebo Samuel even have left?
He probably wants a new deal.
Yes.
So
you don't like that coach in San Francisco either.
You'll get at least one good year out of him.
Right, like does he come out and do a prove-it
year? This year he's motivated, yes, I think, to play well.
Yeah.
And by the last time we saw him, it wasn't good.
No.
Yeah, he Deebo'd us that day.
When he scored 3 touchdowns against us. Yeah. Well, a motivated Deebo Samuel.
Yes.
I don't know if it wasn't good that day or when Elliott took the picture of him at the Super Bowl and he looked fat. Like, I don't know which Deebo Samuel
AJ tight. I think him and AJ were college teammates.
Oh, were they?
I think.
Oh, he went to South Carolina.
Deebo went to South Carolina?
Yeah.
And AJ went to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They knew each other from during college time.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean,
weren't they the ones in the workout picture together?
I don't know if Deebo's worked out since. I mean,
I'm talking about coming out of college. Or was it DK I'm thinking about? It might be DK Metcalf.
DK and AJ both went to Ole Miss.
That's who I'm thinking about, DJing in. That's what I'm thinking about. DK, that's what I'm thinking about.
I think DK's 2 years older.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about, not Deebo.
Yeah, and the reason you brought up AJ is because he was wearing an AJ Brown jersey.
Yes, I thought they might have went to school together. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Washington was really good this year, ahead of schedule, mm-hmm. NFC Championship game. I'll tell you the other thing that they have, not scared of the Eagles. It, one little bit. I know we beat them. We scored 55 points.
They believe, feel like they're right there with the Eagles.
Yes.
Yeah, in their head.
And in both regular season games, look, they beat us once. The other game they could have beat us. Jaden Daniels was injured in the other game. Mm-hmm. Now Jalen was injured in the game that they beat us. But in both games, they said, like, they approached the game as if they were not intimidated by the Eagles.
I forget. What play broke open the playoff game? Because it was 14-12 at one point. Right? In the playoff game, wasn't it?
Well, they had the play before halftime.
Is that what I'm thinking about? The A.J. Brown play on fourth down?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
I can't remember.
Something broke the game open.
Now, Saquon had 2 big runs in that game, right?
Yes.
Right? I believe he did.
In the playoff game?
In the playoff game, right?
Did he?
He had the first one.
I know he had the first one, yeah.
I thought he had another one later in the game, yeah.
That game was so out of whack. Not a lot of memorable plays in that game.
No.
I remember Bond forcing a fumble.
Yeah.
Right?
They had a bunch of, four turnovers, 5 turnovers that Washington had in that game?
Turnovers.
Yeah.
That the game where Jalen was saying, that's what I bleep and do?
No, that was Super Bowl.
I thought it was a game before the Super Bowl he did that.
Oh, the throw to AJ on the corner. Yeah.
He touchdown, turned, right?
Yeah.
It was that game,
that's
right?
That's what the bleep. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then in the Super Bowl, he threw
I got to listen. When you have moments, man, you got to remember the moments, man. He had moments.
He did have moments.
Totally agree.
He was Super Bowl MVP.
Well, those 2 games, he was feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Foles. Super Bowl MVP.
Jalen Foles?
Yeah, 2 good games.
Foles never started an end of the season.
No.
But Foles did have a 27-2 year.
He did.
Jalen has not yet.
And will never have.
No. Certainly, maybe the 2. Maybe the two. He could do the two. I don't know if he's going to have the 27. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus. Wow, hitting third today.
Wow, hour late.
Yeah, well, he's like Bryce. He's like, he's a three-hitter, but he'll lead off if we ask him to. You're on WIP.
Hey, man, listen, you know me. I do have a career, you know. Every once in a while, they got to bring in, you know, the top dog to close the deal, you know, like Howie Rose. I'm the Howie Rose of, you know, my profession.
So, wow.
And they need the big dog to come in there to close the deal. You know, I can't always hop on, but, you know, I got to always make time for my boys. You know that. So, you know, get that out there.
But you do always hop on.
Yeah, every day.
What do you mean?
Yeah, but I said when...
if we led the show today, is Jalen Hurts actually good, question mark, you would have been the first caller.
Listen, I'm a boss with a capital C. You know what I'm saying? But when they needed the boss to step in, I got you know, people that do stuff, handle my business for me. But when they need the boss to step in, you know, I step in and take, you know, that's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I got to, you know, because, you know, we don't want to put work and career out there because, you know, sponsorships and all that. You know, I don't want to put that out there.
You live in Columbus.
I didn't know if you wanted us to ask you what you do. You're beating around the bush enough with it.
This is the thing, though. This is the thing. I work for a huge competitor of somebody that takes care of y'all's building. That's why I can't stay. You know?
You work for an Aramark competitor.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, it's not their building.
Ike might know who it is. You know what I'm saying? Ike from the area.
Yeah. Okay.
Ike Reese is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know what he's talking about.
All right. Okay. Well, congratulations, Corey.
Way to go, buddy.
So let's talk about.
Hold on. Is that P&G?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. We. But listen,
Corey, do you run the Reds?
Hey man, you know they trying to get me to, you know, they trying to get me to come over and run the Bengals, but you know I told them unless Jalen come in and they getting rid of that quarterback down there, I can't.
Oh yeah, yeah, that'd be the first move. The good interview that'll go.
That's my first order of business.
Yeah, we got to get rid of Joe Burrow. Yep, yeah.
Man. And then, hey man, you know I'm like Nico Harris, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Debo to the Commanders is like Paul George to the Sixers, man. That don't move me. That ain't – listen, man, Debo Samuel, he was a good player, you know, a couple years ago. He only had – I was shocked by this. He only had over 1,000 yards one time in his career.
Yeah, 21.
That I was shocked by that. I thought, like, you know, by the way people talk about Debo, I thought – I mean, like, Debo, you know, you got a name like that. I'm thinking, you know, you're somebody. You're not really nobody. And, you know, and then we talk about Jaden Daniels. Listen, Spike, you keep saying he was hurting that first game, right?
He was.
Okay, but he played, right?
Yeah, right? But look, dude, all I'm saying is he was hurt. It was a close game.
He wasn't
a
runner in that game.
Yeah.
Hurts not hurt in a playoff game, and he put up 55 on the head, but he not have the banged up knee. Remember, they folded him like a lawn chair?
Oh, our annual does he or doesn't he have a knee injury with Jalen?
He was fine.
Come on.
We was nervous when he got folded up in the Rams game. Now he's fine.
He's got a little bit of Joel to him. He doesn't want to use it as an excuse, but he wants you to know that he's hurt. Like let's come on. Jaden Daniels was hurt in the first game. Can we just not make a federal issue out of it?
And let's talk about this. Let's talk about this too. You know we. Because everybody loves C.J. Stroud and all these quarterbacks and all that, you know. Jaden Daniels, we'll see, you know, the book out on you. You know, C.J. Stroud was supposed to be the second coming of Tom Brady, and we saw what happened with him this year. They went out got him all, you know, Stephon Diggs and all these players and all that, and he couldn't deliver. So we about to see Jaden Daniels, if you really that dude, because I know a quarterback in his second year that took his team to the Super Bowl. I know a guy that did that. And then in his fourth year, he won a Super Bowl. I only know one quarterback.
How is this entire call about Jalen Hurts? What are we doing?
Because you know, it just struck a nerve. Because I'm tired of these Commander fans, and we are Philadelphia station. We giving these dudes too much credit. They got all this cap space. We gonna see what they could do. We don't know if they could build a team or not.
Like, this is exactly what we said. It's exactly what we said. We were all pretty like meh on Debo Samuel. He's certainly better than they've had.
I just got to make sure, you know, it's heard through Philadelphia.
All right.
Now. We ain't worried about this, you know. And then let me get on the Phillies. Look, see, I don't think it is World Series or bust, but this is the thing with the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm starting to look at, you know, Dave Dombrowski, you know, Rob Thompson. They keep bringing this dude back. Everybody keeps saying, I mean, I'm not saying everybody keeps saying he's not the problem, but eventually it's like, dude, y'all keep bringing these dudes back. Y'all keep running the same lineup out there. Francisco Rojas. That's a joke. You know what I'm saying? All this, you know, we got Francisco. Everybody telling, oh, he hitting home runs in spring training. Okay, do it in the real game. Like, I don't want to see Ranger Suarez, you know, out here looking like Roger Clemens the first half of the season, and in the second half, he looking like, you know, Taiwan Walker. Like, I need these dudes to be consistent. Like, we losing to lesser opponents in the postseason. You got Bryce Harper on the team. This team ain't garbage. Like, they should at least be able to make it to the NLCS, NLDS at worst. Y'all should not be losing in no wild card round. I don't care to no Mets, none of that. And that's all I'm saying. Like, we not going to act like these boys is just – and Jack and Ike trying to get these dudes a soft landing. No, well, we're not doing that. They got all-stars on this team.
Yeah, they're going to be good. They're going to be really good.
Okay, but I hope so. We going to see. Bryson Stott, I need you to take that, you know, step this year. That last year you had a step back. Brandon Marsh, we was all hype. Y'all taking a step back. I need to see the progression because y'all had all these dudes and they top 11, Rangers, Suarez, Zach Wheeler, all these top 11 athletes. I need to see it because I'm not – if we go home in a wild card round – somebody better get fired because y'all should have got fired last year, Rob Thompson. We let you come back. We gave you a second chance. Now you better show up.
There we
That's
go.
All I'm saying.
Corey holding people accountable. Hey, Corey, exactly. Corey, what's a skill – next question today. What's a skill or ability you wish you had?
Hey, you know, I wish I could sing like Jordan Mailata, you know, because when you can sing, you know what I'm saying, I could sing a little – write a little song for my wife, you know what I'm saying. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, you and me both, Corey. Wish I had a great voice that. Like Jordan. Kind of sucks Jordan's get great at two things.
It does suck, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, after being great at rugby.
You're great at two things. I mean, you were the NFL player, all pro, and you the longest running, you know, host on WIP, face of the station.
Talk to me.
You got two.
Talk to me.
I only got one. Jack's
hell no. You had nine different jobs. What are you talking about?
But he's been fired a couple of times.
I've never been fired.
You were a band member?
Well, it was a bad band. And hold on. I was never fired. That's the one thing.
Weren't you laid off?
Well, the station went away. What do you want?
Well, maybe you should have done something about it. Do something, Bryce Harper.
You know what I did? I had a revenge tour. I came back and I ran the
station.
Revenge
over everything.
Yes. All right. 215-592-9494. World Series or bust for the Phillies. By the way, I have a thought on Bryce, by the way.
Awesome. Great.
I just couldn't wait till Friday.
No. It's just a thing. I just want to get it out there. And the Sixers couldn't let us go a weekend without some more Joel Embiid controversy. So we'll get to that next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, here come the rooster. Yeah! You know we ain't gonna die.
What the hell?
Oh, little Alice in Chains, buddy. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Zach Wheeler's walkout song.
You're not a grunge guy?
Whose walkout song is this?
Wheeler.
Oh, is it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Dude, this song before a playoff game?
Yeah.
It is. That's why he's so dominant in the postseason.
No.
So, essentially, like, there were four grunge bands that really matter, essentially. Yeah. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden.
Never heard of Soundgarden.
You probably know Spoon Man.
I might know if I hear it.
Yeah, you might know Black Hole Sun. You might know that song. You probably know the songs if you heard them.
Yeah.
But, and they all, except for Pearl Jam, singers for all of them passed away early. Lane Staley, the singer for Alice in Chains, died from a horrible heroin addiction.
Kurt Cobain
died, yep, of course. And Chris Cornell, Soundgarden. He's the one who passed away. So.
Watched the Oscars last night?
I didn't.
Neither did I.
There you go. I looked at the...
I did see some of it, though.
Well, I looked at the best picture, and I know Seltzer's a big, you know, Oscars guy, you know.
Yeah.
There he is.
He actually had an Oscar question this morning.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I was probably the most happy I've ever looked at a morning show poll. 95% of listeners on like 2,000 votes had never heard of the movie. didn't watch
that
it.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Enora, right? That
yeah.
one. Yeah. So
the indie film.
It seems like one that I would like. My wife has told me that one looks like a movie.
Yeah.
But me, who I watch a lot of movies. My wife and I watch a lot of
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, you're a big movie watcher.
I had only seen one of the Best Picture nominees.
Which one?
The Substance with Demi Moore.
So I watched that last night.
All right.
It sucked.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it had, and I'm a horror guy.
Right.
I watch a lot of horror, and
right.
it got a lot of awesome reviews.
Right.
I just like, I watched it, I was thinking, so the whole idea of it is like this impossible standard we hold women to, you mm-hmm. know, when they get older. But like, that's a movie you would have made in 1996 or something. It's not like a new idea
right.
or anything. And I thought the movie just went for gross out and for like extremeness rather than being,
yeah.
like, I didn't think it was interesting. I didn't think it was scary. It wasn't a bad watch,
right.
but I didn't think it was Best Picture.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
And it went on way too long.
Way too long.
There are very few horror movies that should be anything longer than an hour 42.
Right, exactly.
Yes. And I'm a horror movie guy, right? I don't mind gross out. I don't mind dark. But I just thought that this one, they just wanted to say how brave yeah. Demi Moore was.
Yeah, Renee liked it. And
yeah.
it was Elijah's idea.
I just didn't think it was that good.
I'm sitting there like, what am I watching?
Just didn't think it was that good. Think of a second, Jack. Did you see any of the Best Picture nominees?
I probably haven't watched a movie in 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have the attention span for a movie.
I have the attention span. I don't have the time for a movie. I got multiple spring training games to watch.
Yeah. I was going to say, what do you mean you don't have time for a movie?
Yeah.
I don't have time for
You don't have the attention span. Because
what does that even mean?
You're
you have to sit there through a movie and watch it and pay attention.
And not do something else.
Right.
I can
exactly,
lock in.
Yeah, not be on.
Hold on.
Your phone. You can't watch a movie yeah. and also be on
how
your phone.
How can I watch a baseball game?
Because you're on your phone the whole time.
I'm on the baseball game. How do I know what I'm watching?
There is literally zero, I would imagine.
No chance you're getting through a whole movie without being on the phone.
I don't miss a word you two say in 4 hours.
Well, you're at work.
And I'm on my phone.
I know, but you can't watch a movie that way.
Whatever.
You can't. True or false? You say you're not on your phone. Do you ever go more than watching a baseball game 7 minutes without looking at Twitter?
Of course not.
Okay.
There's things to do between innings.
But that's the difference between a movie and a baseball game.
Right.
You can't be on your phone because you're going to miss something.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to explain to your wife what she missed because she was talking. I mean,
yeah.
you have to explain to you what you missed because you were looking at Twitter.
I like a good movie.
Yeah. I love a movie.
Last night I was in. Haven't seen Demi Moore in anything in a while.
And she was fine in it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
I was like, yeah. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. Yeah,
yeah,
check it out.
It's not that good. If you want a horror movie recommendation, yeah, yeah. shoot me or Justin from Tennessee a tweet. We'll give you a bunch of horror movies. So speaking of horror movies,
yes.
the Sixers continued to play this weekend, and they beat the Warriors. Unconscionable win,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
Quentin Grimes scores 44 points. Imagine me. So I watched the game the next morning,
mm-hmm.
but I checked in halfway through. I looked at the score. I'm like, wow, the Sixers are up 12. Wait a minute. Tyrese Maxey hasn't scored, and Paul George has made one shot. How does that even happen?
Yeah.
But the big news.
Imagine what that did for the parlay.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Well, Jack bet Paul George hit 6 threes, which is the.
Take those odds any day.
I'm not doing that.
Can I tell you this?
Plus 680.
There's a chance that Paul George doesn't make 6 threes the rest of the season.
Well, I thought since he quit Podcast P, he's more locked in. That
yes.
showed against the Knicks.
He did.
And
yep.
then the Warriors were the other teams, and maybe he wanted to play well so he can get traded there this offseason. That was my logic.
Yeah, but they already got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, how's it going there now?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't worry about it.
But the big news was yes. during NBA Countdown, I guess, or whatever it was, where Shams had this report on Joel Embiid.
Malika, this all came to a head over the last couple of weeks. Specifically, when I'm told Joel Embiid went directly to 76ers owner Josh Harris about the state of his knee and about where the realization he's at with what's in the best interest of him, the organization, as far as the potential shutdown. Because remember, Josh Harris owes Joel Embiid up to $300 million over the next 5 seasons. So the backdrop to all this is that over the last month, we've seen fundamental differences between Joel Embiid and the 76ers as far as Embiid believing that he needs a different treatment approach for this versus the 76ers feeling you play on it, get in better condition, and you could continue on this year. This has been a situation the 76ers have been dealing with all season, and they've managed the swelling in multiple different ways, including injections monthly just to get him on the court. But here they are in lockstep. This is all about getting Joel Embiid back on the court in the best sustainable way, and they are in lockstep about that.
So, you know, he framed the went to Josh Harris as like he's obviously is in constant conversation with the management of the basketball team.
Right.
Like that it's not like that doesn't happen. It's not like
that's not a shocker.
Well, yeah, it's not like he had to finally go to the owner and say, "Hey, my knee's messed up," or whatever. Yeah. I do believe that there is a difference in opinion about what can happen with the knee. But here is what I would say to Joel or Joel's camp or whoever. Okay, what's the surgery then? Like, here we are. It's almost a week since they shut him down, since they were going to confer with experts, right? That was Tuesday or Monday, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the surgery? What's the surgery? What's the treatment? Because all we keep hearing are, like, seven different options. I understand that Embiid and his camp are probably really frustrated that the plan that they all thought was best, that the doctors thought was best, has not worked. I can imagine that frustration. But I feel like he is reaching for a solution that maybe doesn't exist, that he wants somebody to tell him, just have this surgery and then it'll be okay.
Right.
I just don't think it exists. You know,
so he's probably having a hard time accepting that.
I think it's probably part of it. I also think, you know, we see the Josh Harris thing now twice, once from Shams, one from Stephen A. And remember the first name that Stephen A. brought up when he said that? It was Magic. Mm-hmm. You know, and Magic is part of the Commanders ownership group. Yep. And you had said this on Friday that he and Bob Myers might smell a little blood, mm-hmm. you know, maybe separately, maybe together. Yep. And I have no doubt that some of this is fueled from that. But as far as like the Joel part, I brought up the Fultz thing last time we talked about this.
Yeah.
And when Markelle Fultz had a shot broken, all we sort of heard, maybe not publicly, but from the team was it ain't his shoulder. Like there's nothing physically wrong with him. But Fultz's camp
insisted something
just go after doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor until someone would say, here's what it is, here's your shoulder. And here we are, by the way, 5 years later, they supposedly has solved whatever the shoulder thing was. He's not even in basketball.
Right.
And the shot never got fixed. So I think the entire situation is kind of a bummer. I hope they come to, but this, just be clear, whatever this next step is, this is going to be Joel's choice, what he wants to do. You know,
now this is interesting because the team doesn't think he needs to go under the knife to get something.
Well, I think
corrected, right?
I think what the team thought was this is the best path. Now that this path, and Joel, like I don't know how committed he was to that path. You know, to continuing to play on it, even though it doesn't feel right. I know he's saying it doesn't feel right. And I know that they're frustrated, right, that it keeps swelling up too. They must be. But also, we're at the point where they're just going to have to throw a Hail Mary. If he doesn't want to do that, they're going to have to throw a Hail Mary on what.
Yeah.
And Lisa Salter's mentioned meniscus replacement, meniscus repair, which they can't do. They already took the, unless he has another meniscus injury, they already took the little frayed parts out, and meniscus replacement, which in my understanding is not a real option for Joel Embiid.
Nick Nurse's comments after the game, he was asked something about Joel and whether or not it had gotten worse. And he was like, and I'm paraphrasing, did he say something like, there is no new injury?
Yes.
Like sometimes it feels good and then sometimes it doesn't?
Yes.
I wonder if there's obviously some bone of contention there, right, with Joel and let's say the team.
Yeah, I think there is a bone of contention in that he thinks there should be a surgical option that should make this better, that the path that they all chose wasn't the best path.
Right.
But here we sit, right? He had new imaging on the knee,
mm-hmm.
he saw new experts, we are a week in. And we still have, they would have leaked something about here's what the surgery is.
Yeah.
But we're a week into it, right? And we still have not heard anything. We're still hearing about the same mystery radiation, hip, break your hip,
right.
Meniscus replacement. It's the, what's the other one? Microfracture. You know, if there were some magic thing, the worst news out of all of this is that it keeps swelling up and there isn't a surgical option to fix it. I mean, that's where the realistic thing here is that the best path they saw did not work, and there is not an easy second choice.
You like seeing him at the game Saturday?
I did. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet some of the weight is off his shoulder. No one's asking him if he's going to play tonight anymore.
Right. You had to worry about that. And it did. I mean, hell, I hadn't seen him smile.
Right.
Like he was after the game for Quentin Grimes and the game that he had and, you know, pouring the water on him. I hadn't sort of seen that sort of Joel Embiid. He's sort of been somber and I don't want to say mopey-ish, but I can understand. He's sort of come off like that all year. He hasn't really seemed to be in the highest of spirits all year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, yes, I agree with you. It was good to see him smiling and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there are a lot of criticisms you can have with Embiid. He wants to play. I mean, he wants to be out there. He wants to be good. It isn't – there's nothing about this that hasn't been – doesn't want to get in the game and be good and play. Yeah, you can question his work habits for sure and choking in the Boston series and Miami series for sure. Yeah. But I don't think there's ever been a question, not to me, that he doesn't want to get out there and play basketball.
Yeah, when you're that good, that size – and you've already built somewhat of a legacy, I would imagine, you said this before, there has to be frustration and somewhat heartbreak that he can't go be the player that he know he has the ability to be. It's like Tracy McGrady, Penny Hardaway. You know, we remember those guys when they were top 5 to 10 players in the league.
Yes.
And injuries robbed them.
Grant Hill.
Yeah. Injuries robbed them of who they could have become had they remained healthy. And this is different for him. He's a big man. And while he's had some individual success, he's never been able to put it all together for a sustained period of time without having the health stuff interfere with it. It's got to be frustrating to him.
Absolutely.
Has to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, only a few athletes know what it's like to be that good at something.
And then to come back and not be able to just
can't do it.
Score whenever you want. There was, I think you pointed out there was one play, and maybe if it wasn't the last game he played, the one before that, where he went up to shoot the ball and he ended up falling down and the ball ended up 5 feet short of the rim, that he thought there was an explosion coming that just wasn't there. You know, and all you need to do really, I mean, he averaged on one leg against the Knicks, he averaged 33, 10, and 5 or something. Just watch games from 4 years ago.
Or, somebody put together a highlight package of him.
Doesn't even look like the same guy.
I was like, dude, it's unbelievable. Like somebody put together like a 2-minute highlight package of him when he was in his bag, you know, when he was doing his thing, man.
His physical peak?
Yeah.
It's very easy to forget because he hasn't been in his physical peak for a couple years, but his physical peak was pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
Pretty outrageous. All right. Yep. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Is this a World Series or bust season for the Phillies? 76.4 say yes. Seth in the Northeast, you're on WIP.
Yo, Seth.
Seth in the Northeast.
All righty.
Seth in the Northeast. John in Abington, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, John?
What's up, John?
So, you know, like, Dombrowski did what he was supposed to do with getting another pitcher. You can't get any more fielders. What are you going to do? Like, you got Harper and you have Trey, and you got some other guys in the minor leagues, but what else could he have done? Your pitching is going to beat hitting. Am I correct?
Well, pitching beats hitting unless your hitters
don't hit at all.
Yeah. I mean, it should. It didn't last year. I agree with you that I think upgrading the pitching staff probably makes a bigger difference than getting a better third baseman than Alec Bohm.
Yeah, people wanted to see Bohm move. They wanted some.
They
wanted
to shake the core up.
Yes.
They wanted to shake the core up.
But I think the thing is that Bohm hit 2 homers yesterday.
Wind blow.
So maybe that woke him up a little bit.
Yep.
To understand that, you know, they may move him. But it is what it is. Bohm's going to hit And Castellanos in his last year of two years of his contract, I think. So, you know, and this kid from the other guy that they got as a free agent,
Kepler,
is a ton better than what we got out of the other guy that we traded to Atlanta.
Well, Whit Merrifield, you mean?
Yeah, that's a low bar.
Yeah.
But Whit Merrifield was a utility guy. Like, Kepler's going to start every day. It's really just he has to be better than Austin Hayes.
That's a low bar, too.
Is a utility guy, too. They're going to fit in the lineup. So, and I think they need to put Trey at number one and keep the lineup where you got to protect Harper.
Yeah, well, that's on Harper, too, in hitting two. Hey, John, give us next question. Give us something, a skill or ability you wish you had.
I don't have anything, Spike. Thank
you do everything great.
Awesome.
Yeah. He does everything awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the protection on Harper is on. I think that's one good thing about moving him to two is having more hitters behind
him. Natural protection.
Right. It's just more protection. Yeah. Yeah, Trey at leadoff is great if Trey's approach. Yeah. If Trey hasn't always been Mr. Try to hit a home run every time, right, Jack?
No.
I mean, before it was when he got here.
So, So let me ask you this. Trey's going to start off at leadoff.
Yeah.
That two-hole spot is going to either be Bohm or Schwarber. It's not going to be Bryce. It's not going to be Bryce. We all know it's not going to be Bryce.
What if we talk to him on?
Yeah, am I allowed to ask him just about the idea of it tomorrow? Yes. I don't want to make you guys mad.
Make me mad.
All right, I don't want to upset the big guy.
Well, here's the thing: if you upset him, he's mad at you.
Right. That's fair. You guys can go. Yeah, I didn't want them to ask that.
I don't know why you asked Bryce.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Oh yeah.
No, seriously, it's going to be Schwarber or Bohm.
Well, I think it'd be Schwarber over Bohm, but yeah.
And so then Bohm goes back to the four.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Bryce has got it, too. He's got it, too. 215-592-9494. Oh, that's what he told us.
That's what he told us.
Yeah. Jack, coming up next, we do have our 4 o'clock High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Now, we're talking about the Phils, but what about the Phils do you have coming up in the report?
Well, some concerning comments from Rob Thompson about one player on the team.
Oh, no.
Concerning?
One player on the team.
Kind of funny.
Okay.
I appreciated it. Good work by Rob Thompson.
Okay.
He's putting on a good act.
Oh, I think I know who it's about. You know what I'm going to do? Hold on. I had a pen here. I'm going to write down who I think it's about, and we'll find out.
Could there be an extension coming for one of the key fills?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Lot to get to.
Okay. That's next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.